It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here we go, 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number. In the north, you get a dial 775, but that 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number for the folks at Battleborne Injury Lawyers, Matt Hoffman, Justin Watkins, and a talented crew of Battleborne Injury Lawyers here on this Monday. We're about 15 minutes away from getting into the WNBA with the Aces results this weekend. Also, more people against Caitlin Clark. Go figure. Big Four time.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
You know, I love food. I don't mind a celebration of all kinds of foods, and we have plenty of days each year. And sometimes these what national day it is, they get stacked like three and four deep. Can we just be good with a National Chicken Day, and then I would go with a National Chicken Wing Day, and then I would go with a National Fried Chicken Day? Do we need a fourth day for chicken? Is Big Chicken demanding this?
You could have done chicken, and you could have left it a chicken wing, but the fact that you threw in fried,
right,
what today is necessary because you went to fried.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think fried is so much bigger than the item you're going to mention.
Well, but there's other ways to cook. Okay, so it was barbecue chicken, so why not barbecue chicken day?
Because I don't think barbecue chicken is...
Mark McMillan's going to get on you.
I mean, smoked chicken, barbecue chicken, it's good. I don't think it's as big as fried wings and regular chicken.
By the way, aside from what I sent, did you see I sent a second email because I forgot I had a bunch of stuff in my Cofield & Company email folder that I forgot to send over? Today is also a very important day in yours and my life, especially with the fact that I owe you two dinners and you owe me one. It's National Steakhouse Month.
I think Thursday on the Cofield & Company rundowns, I think that's the day that
we're going to bring that up.
Day comes up. But today is National Rotisserie Chicken Day.
Yes.
Seriously?
Very important in the Ramirez household. Once a week.
To explain, is this your food prep as you tear apart a chicken, or is this what you're cooking for the dog?
Yes.
Once
a week, I pick up a rotisserie chicken. And by the way, if you go to Smith's after 6:30 p.m., they discount them down because they have to put out X amount and then to push them to make sure they're not left over.
Nice treat after the show.
Yeah.
Would you like to give anyone else a free pop? How are their chickens?
I was giving the listeners a pop.
No, I like that.
Kay Kudinski.
Kay Interrupski. I am curious who has the best. Who has the best for the best price? Have they gone up?
Actually,
I thought a lot of the places kind of used them as lost leaders, and we're still charging like $5 or $6, even though they may be a little pricier, just to get people in, loyal people in.
Oh, I remember when they were $5.99. Yeah. Then they hit $9.99. But the place
they're $10 now.
No, the one I went to the other day was $7.99, which is nice.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know these prices.
I like to grab one a week, tear all the skin off, pull all the meat.
What do you do with the skin?
Just depends.
Can you save it for me?
If it's seasoned and cooked properly, I'll eat it by itself.
Fatty across the way. I'm talking about me. It's not supposed to be eating chicken skin. God, I love it, though.
But there's parts of the chicken that I will pull apart. The undercarriage, whatever, to get the bones out of there. And yeah, I make a Tupperware up so Kahlua gets a measurement of his food.
Does he have chicken every day? Does he have rotisserie chicken? Does your dog have a rotisserie chicken every day?
No. There's different things. Sometimes it just depends. But there are days where the chicken's involved.
How many days a week do you cook for your dog?
I don't cook for him. There are certain things that he gets.
How many days does he get custom food?
Every day, because it's added to his kibble. Hmm.
This is the norm, I think, now. We had some people over yesterday, and one of the couples that we were hanging out with was talking about their dog and making like salmon and something. I'm like, what is going on? This dog eats better than I do.
Let me ask you this. Do you know what it's called when you get a steak and you defrost it? Like mine's obviously in an airtight from the cattle ranch.
Okay. Right?
So when it defrosts, I cut it open, I pull it out. It's not blood. You know, it's not blood that's down there. It's myoglobin.
Okay.
That's where a lot of nutrients are. I'll put that in a small Tupperware.
You'll send me some blood?
And it's not
steak blood.
It's not blood. It's protein that's stored. It stores oxygen in the muscle of the beef. I take that and I'll drizzle it over his kibble. sometimes.
That's why the dog's all jacked up. I commented about like a year after you had the dog. I'm like, this dog is on steroids.
But it's not. It's his myoglobin.
Do you give Kahlua like a protein shake?
No.
Some creatine.
No. No creatine, no protein.
It's a little wiener dog.
He'll freaking lick his chest.
You
know, sometimes after having yogurt and trail mix, I'll let him lick the Greek yogurt, or I'll let him lick the... Now, there are times where I'll take the I've said this before. You're like, you don't make your own protein powder or protein pudding. I do. I'll take plain yogurt. I'll put protein powder in it, whip it together. So now you have a protein pudding, and he licks the bowl.
I don't know why I'm trying to follow some special human diet. I need to eat like Kahlua. I'm just going to come over. Hey, what's the dog got for dinner tonight? Come on over. I got extra.
He was down to 17 pounds. I took him to the vet for something. For just his updated shots, he was 22 pounds. I was like, this is not unacceptable. I had to drop him. So he's dropped 3 pounds.
Number three.
I don't know the whole Madden thing. I'm old. Is the Madden curse dead? Is this a bad thing that Saquon Barkley is on the Madden 26 cover?
I'm not comfortable enough to say whether the Madden curse is dead or not.
You don't want
to
jinx it.
But I will say this. This is the coolest Madden cover in a long, long time.
It is pretty tight.
It is the greatest. It's not your generic player standing on a field looking like he's making a move. It is the move of this player's career. Hopping backwards over that play, over the Jacksonville Jaguars player.
Yeah.
That should be his logo with Nike. That should be his clothing brand logo. So the fact that they put that on the Madden cover, maybe he's safe from the curse this year. Who knows?
You know who we'll have to ask. Maybe during the next break, I'll have to walk next door and find out if he's worried that Barkley's on the cover. Is Salerno? Isn't he an Eagles guy?
He is. Yes. Yeah. Very much an Eagles guy.
So it was a great movie. You know, the very first thing I thought of when I saw it, I thought to myself, how cool would it be? Like, you know how the NBA, whatever it's called. This is called Madden. What's the NBA's game called?
It's like 2K25. 2K,
okay.
Yeah.
Is they've now included WNBA players. Like, with the NFL really trying to push flag, who did they have do the Barkley move in the Super Bowl commercial? Kilolo from Liberty. That would be kind of, because I thought of her, right? They had her do it. That would be kind of dope if they had flag football.
Number two.
There's an actual story that says top 10 preseason games in the NFL. What?
Well, I think it's just because of the hype behind the rookie class. That's who's going to be playing, right? Because handicappers are always like, how much time are the starters going to get? Well, this year, the hype is behind a lot of rookies, including Shedeur Sanders.
The way I set that up, it sounded like I was going to call you a horse's ass for sending this in. But no, this is one of the first years ever that I'm kind of fired up to watch preseason games because of Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel and that quartet mix of quarterbacks on the Browns. Another angle by Frank Schwab is, what are the Steelers going to look like against the Jaguars on August 9th? Aaron Rodgers, if he's there, is not playing. He probably wouldn't play more than maybe a quarter or two the entire preseason. Keep in mind, I guess there's a little more urgency now because the preseason has been shortened. Who else? Browns game is must watch.
One of the games that he mentions, and by the way, just for the record, I am a horse's ass, but it's not because I sent this story in, is the 49ers here in Las Vegas on August 16th. Why? Rookie running back Ashton Jeanty.
I think he's stretching here. I think it's the Browns and a couple other teams. Do you think, is Ashton Jeanty going to play in the preseason? Pete Carroll does have a rep.
He's a rookie.
So what?
Got to get out there.
He's the franchise.
Got to play.
He needs a lot of reps to get used to that new running back stance he's going to be in.
Let's not start with the face of the franchise. You're already wrong in the W. Max Crosby's the franchise.
They're a 6-win team with Max Crosby. This guy actually takes them to the potential of being a playoff team. I didn't say face of the franchise. I said franchise. Okay. If he goes down,
he's the
he's
the future.
He has to be the current franchise because when you take a running back, you're probably going to run all the freaking trot off the tires the first 4 years. So you took him number six. He's got to be Bafo in your number one. That said, I'm not playing him a whole lot in the preseason.
Can we go over under on how many times he's going to use the word Bafo today? Because I think we're at four. I'm just saying.
Another team we got to keep an eye on during this preseason, New York Giants.
Oh, I thought he was going to say the Bears.
I agree with that one.
Bears, the important players aren't going to touch the field, all right? Yeah. I'm talking about Giants. I want to see Jackson Dart. I want to see that quarterback.
This is the Dart tryout to get the Giants fans all fired up. If he shows anything good, you know, they're morons in New York. Not very nuanced when it comes to being a sports fan. They'll immediately say, no Russell Wilson, no Jameis Winston. Get Dart out there now.
What about the Jaguars with Travis Hunter?
He shouldn't play either. Although, right, I'm playing wide receiver.
I'm done throwing out the games I want to watch because you guys are shooting me down. No, Genty, no Hunter.
You can watch.
Just leave it between you.
You can watch all you want. I'm not coming over to a new place to watch freaking preseason football, but I am going to watch certain quarterback battles. Why not?
Okay.
Let's do it. Rams at Browns, August 23rd. Okay.
So in that regard, then you don't play Cam Ward?
That's a different case. He's got to play a little bit. If he's going to be the starter out of the gates, which I don't know what's going on there, right? Will Levis didn't move, right, after June 1st?
The Mayo King is still in Tennessee.
That would have been a buffo move. I'm kidding. Now, Cam Ward probably does need to play. It's a little risky going into the opening of the season, not having logged any snaps in preseason.
Well, one of the games on Schwab's is Bears at the Chiefs. You excited, Griff?
Why is that significant in the preseason?
I don't know.
I cannot wait to watch Tyler Badgett go out there and ball out with the backups. Yes, it will be great. But we also get a chance to see a little Ben Johnson offensive play calling. So, yeah you're right, Willie. I am actually very excited.
Rebuilt
for this.
An offensive line, two highly drafted rookie targets in tight end Colston Loveland and receiver Luther Burden III. Assuming coach Andy Reid doesn't change his philosophy, we should see some of the reigning AFC champs' starters as well.
Number one.
Deion Sanders in his latest podcast appearance is pushing back on the NFL. And unnamed sources saying that Deion Sanders was not prepared for his interviews.
Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur was not prepared. His kid was not prepared for the interviews. Deion says, when you sit up there and you say something like he went into a meeting unprepared. Like, dude, Shedeur Sanders? Who had six different offensive coordinators, who has still functioned and leveled up every time we brought somebody new in. What does that have to do with success in college? They're just talking about the interview process and that your kid didn't show up, didn't do the work he was supposed to do. The Giants said it, that, hey, they gave him a whole package to look over. He came in. He didn't look at it. It's like they refuse to listen. I mean, I think Shedeur's more open to listening, and I think there's a wake-up call now that Shedeur's been in camp. But, like, it's over, man. Here's the lesson that Deion needs to learn is don't screw up any other kids moving forward in terms of their attitude or the process.
I don't think he will. Honestly, I don't.
Well, I think this is a unique case
because it was
his son.
Right.
But I mean, your son wasn't prepared. Multiple organizations said it. The whole league passed on him over and over and over again. Your approach, his approach, was flawed. Just live and learn, man.
Right.
Stop being stubborn.
I think the word unprepared is being taken out of context in different ways. Maybe
he's calling people outright liars. There was another report that he had headphones on. You better hope no one in the room had a video when that was going on that Shedeur went into an interview and he's got headphones on. If NFL franchises don't like it, learn the lesson. There's a weird stubbornness with this whole freaking thing. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Give them a call. 766-1400 is the number. If you're in the north, there is an office in Northern Nevada. 775, and of course there's four offices here in Southern Nevada. On the way back, the Caitlin Clark hate train continues.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Griffin's here, Willie Company. Steve Cofield, Cofield & Company. So WNBA dealing with the absence of Caitlin Clark. Fever dealing with the absence of Caitlin Clark.
All over.
Last couple weeks, it's been a little push on the side of Paige Beckers, who then went out with an injury. She's got a concussion, so she's down for what do we think, a couple games? We think?
Paige?
Yeah.
They said two games.
Okay. Headline. Diana Taurasi. Here we go again. Diana Taurasi believes Wings rookie Paige Beckers will become the best player in the league for sure. Before we even get to the Caitlin angle, is that going to happen in the next 2 years that Paige Bueckers will be better than Asia Wilson? Are we serious?
Well, did she put a timetable? I saw you sent this over, and I didn't get a chance to read through it. Did she put a timetable? Does she mean down the road? What does she mean? Did she say in the next 2 years? Did she say that the next time that we say the best player in the league is? There's got to be more context than just the headline. And I believe we talked about this last Wednesday when you had me on, whereas right now, overall game, if you're putting in Caitlin Clark context, who's going to be the better player? Right now, the more complete basketball player, in my opinion, is Paige Bueckers. But who's going to become? There's no reason why Caitlin Clark can't improve her defense. Once she does that, she is going to be the perfect, complete basketball player. Paige Bueckers is going to improve, and they're going to become incredible rivals that I'm hoping will play for the WNBA championship in years to come. But there's no timetable on this. What is she saying? I mean, and let's not forget that they both went to UConn. So she's going to side with the UConn player, obviously.
Dinah Taurasi, who we remember bad-mouthing Paige before. Check that. Caitlin Clark, before she got into the league, saying it was not going to be easy. Also, single-handedly kept the biggest star in women's basketball off the U.S. Olympic team just so she could get her sixth Olympic medal, gold medal, while now with the clock, Caitlin Clark has to play till she's 45 years old. What she said recently was, this is Diana Taurasi, the one thing I know about Paige, she's so grounded, she's so patient, she's so prepared. I think that she's learned that over the past 4 or 5 years and all of those things she learned at Connecticut, ding, ding. They're going to change the way you look at that team. One day, she's going to end up being the best player in the league for sure. There's no time frame.
So one day. I mean,
so we're looking at like seven years from now, because for the next 4 or 5, she's not going to be better than Asia Wilson.
No.
And I think Caitlin Clark can play enough defense that she'll be damn good. I know right now, and it's a very short sample, the wings are not better, are they? They're not playing great basketball. Paige Bueckers hasn't made much of a difference.
I will say this. If Dallas Wings had a veteran coach or a very good coach like Stephanie White, they would be better than what they are. I'm not going to say that they would be better than the Fever, but what I will say this, Chris Coklands is, and I'm probably butchering his last name, but I think he's in a very tough spot like Christy Sides was last year in trying to figure out mostly, and I'll tell you one thing, I talked to LT Latricia Tremel. She is a consultant with the Sparks, and she happened to be at the game the other day, and we were talking about it. She was like, Willie, I didn't even think about that. But Chris is a defensive-minded coach. He's been known as a defensive coordinator around the league and in college. But he comes to a team that's got offensive superstars in Erika Ogunbowale and now Paige Bueckers. So I think he's sort of – I mean, their defense, you look, is one of the worst defenses in the league. So – he's kind of has a tough chore ahead of him like Christy Sides did. If that team was coached by, let's just say, Becky Hammons or the general manager, Kurt Miller, I think we're talking about a different team that may not lose some of the games that it's already lost. Would it be better than the Indiana Fever? Probably not because – and a healthy Fever team. Okay?
Listen, what we're seeing here with Diana Taurasi is the beginning of being – a Barkley or a Shaq or like even a Dr. J, which is she was jealous when the star that was, the popularity that was and still is, Caitlin Clark.
I disagree.
She was jealous of that coming in, just like Barkley and Shaq now complain about most of the current day players. Just like I love Dr. J, but Dr. J pissed and moaned about, a year and a half, 2 years ago about, you know, a big three forming here, a big three forming there, which – I'll mention it for the 5 millionth time. When the Sixers got really good with Dr. J, they had a big three because they brought in Moses Malone, who was a 30-16 guy because they needed a third player. That's the same thing as having a big three, just like the Celtics did, just like the Lakers did. Now, the next example of jealousy, because she's done and now not many people care who she is Megan Rapinoe, who says Amazingly, this is pretty impressive. Megan Rapinoe, who was well known as someone who griped about officiating to their face, got red cards. She said of Caitlin Clark and the way she handles the officiating on the floor, now off the floor, and kind of a, you know, bench slash coaching role. She's been pretty demonstrative. She said, Megan Rapinoe of Caitlin Clark, "You don't want to become the girl, the team, the coach, the player who cries wolf all the time. It's just like constant. And like, to what end?" And I think especially around this Fever team and especially around Caitlin, this has been a thing. It was a thing last year. Sometimes you just have to play through it and earn a little bit more respect. So now for Megan Rapinoe, who is out of the sports eye, Caitlin Clark is not handling the officiating the way she should. Okay.
I don't like the fact that Caitlin Clark is acting like a coach while she's injured, and she's getting up and talking to the refs the way that Stephanie White should be. Her own assistants aren't doing that. Why is Caitlin Clark opening her mouth? If she's playing and she's on the court, got no problem with it. I got no problem because it's part of the game. If that's part of your shtick or if that's part of your persona that you're going to get in the ref's face, go ahead. But you're in street clothes, and your assistant coaches of Stephanie White aren't even doing what you're doing. Sit down, shut your mouth. Wait till you're in the huddle and talk to your team, because what you're doing is, it's like a parent or a mentor or the star of the team when we're in, like, youth or AAU or in football, and the parent, the drive home, and the parents are complaining about the refs, all of a sudden that's what gets in your head. So now the rest of the Fever are looking at their star who's injured complaining about the refs. Get in the huddle and tell them what they should be doing rather than complaining. You're not an assistant coach. Just shut up. When you're in uniform and you're on the court and it has to do with you, fine. I'll tell you the other thing I have a problem with. The mic'd up, now Megan repeats person, but why isn't there a big uproar the same way there was Brittany Griner when she went after the refs? Oh, because she was mic'd up, or not mic'd up, but she happened to be on camera doing an interview, and she cut the interview right before it started to go yell at the refs, and they caught it all. What if we heard everything that Caitlin Clark is saying every single time? Would we be complaining? How come Dejanay Carrington the other day was getting scrutinized all over social media and security was brought in because she was going after the refs? Why isn't everybody else, and I don't mean Megan Rapinoe, doing the same thing? Why isn't she? Because Brittany Griner has haters. Dejanay Carrington has haters. It's all equal. There are haters everywhere. My thing is, right now, you're injured, you're in street clothes, shut up during the timeout, get in the huddle, quit talking like you're a coach. You're not.
All right, let's go back 4 minutes.
Okay.
Your defense of Paige Bueckers maybe not making a big difference right now, and I know she's out with a concussion, but previously not making a big difference in terms of wins and losses was, well, what if the Wings had a good coach like Stephanie White? Are you a good coach if you can't control your player, as you're commenting on? What kind of veteran coach, if she's not cool with it, is going to allow Caitlin Clark to go ballistic on the bench? Where's Stephanie White in this whole thing? And why do you have to give a speech like, shut up, pipe down, sit down? Is Stephanie White afraid of her star player?
I don't know. And it's only been two games, right? I believe she's only missed two games. So maybe
they're 0-2.
Right. So yeah. This extended time off, maybe she has. I don't know if she said something. Listen.
It's not that hard. Where a player's getting out of control, and frankly, officials should probably be policing it as well. Like, will you tell her to sit down right now? And
time
Stephanie
out.
White during
time
a timeout could be, hey, Caitlin, that's enough. Sit down.
Time out. You're
They're afraid of her.
No. You're
No way to run a team.
Shut up for a minute. You're challenging my assessment as far as why Dallas isn't that good by taking out of context what I said and comparing it to controlling her players. That has nothing to do with X's and O's. Dallas is struggling right now because I think Chris can't put X's and O's together. He's a defensive mind with an offensive player. That has nothing to do with comparing him to Stephanie White as controlling Caitlin Clark. That comparison is different. So let's just nip that in the bud where in saying, well, how good of a Stephanie White if she can't control it? But that has nothing to do with the X's and O's in which I was comparing her to the Dallas Wings coach, first of all. Second of all, I agree with you. And I hope that she reins that in, because guess what? If you're going to get up and do that, like, it, assistant coaches don't do that. They would get teed up. You get in the ref's face too much, you're going to get teed up. She's going to eventually cost her team some free throws if she doesn't shut her mouth. Period.
It's part of the show. It's brought to you by Jackson's Bar and Grill, 6020 West Flamingo, Flamingo and Jones. Best steak deal in town, top value steak deal in Las Vegas. $20 on the garlic marinated bistro filet, $20 on the 1 pound ribeye. You get your veggies. He's all flexy across the way.
Your choice of seven. I love this promo.
Your choice of seven different sides. You're looking forward to the steak dinner there. It's Jackson's Bar and Grill. Go in there. Great menu. Breakfast 24/7. Flamingo and Jones. Jackson's.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Willie, across the way, it's Cofield. We're going to get into the A's, the stadium, the funding. There actually was news last week about an ownership stake being sold, which I think was not really reported. Griffin's here. Willie's here. We're always looking for things to get angry about. We've got agendas, some of us. Doc Travis's site, headed up by our boy Dan Dockich. Headline, NFL goes on its annual LGBTQ embrace, but some teams continue to opt out. I think that language is a little misleading because I think this site was basically tracking NFL teams that mentioned something about Gay Pride Month. I don't know if you necessarily opt out if you don't put anything out. I looked at the Raiders because they listed the Raiders as a team that opted out. I looked at the Raiders' social media account like 2 hours ago. I didn't see anything. I wouldn't have even known about this had it not been for this site and some other headlines. I saw that the Lions put something out, picture of three of their players, and then the Lions logo had the kind of the gay pride flag, the colors in the Lion logo. There's some other teams that have done stuff. Does it make you mad? You're the one who sent over the story, Griffin, so...
Yeah, just because I saw it was a very trending topic that the Patriots put out a gay pride social media post showing a picture of Gillette Stadium's Jumbotron with the gay flag on it, right, saying we all celebrate. And then the story was that there was a lot of, I don't know, crazy people who were Patriots fans were not that thrilled that they put out a gay post pride. And I mean, is it a shock? I mean, yes, no, whether you support, whether you celebrate, whether you don't, it's like, if you're a Patriots fan, how much of your time, how much of your life got taken away because the Patriots posted on social media about gay pride?
None.
There are comments
like, pride is a sin. No, we don't celebrate gay pride. So you get some people worked up. Listen, I don't know if the NFL is truly for equality, if it's supporting the cause. I do know this. The NFL is about, first and foremost, money. And there are people who are part of that community. They buy tickets. They're football fans. They buy jerseys. They want merchandise. A couple of posts here and there. You get why they're doing it for the most part. Is that problematic?
Is it? Let me ask you this. Is it mandatory? Has the NFL made it mandatory for every team to participate?
Well, clearly not.
Then these teams did not opt out. They clearly just didn't opt in.
Right.
So teams opted in. Other teams just remain neutral. It's not that they opted out. Now, the NHL a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken, they were all told, yeah, like they were supposed to come out with the rainbow-colored stick or the tape on the stick, and players opted out.
Right.
They were told to do it, and they opted out. I don't think this is opting out. I think that they just didn't opt in.
I do have a problem with the NHL on that front.
Enforcing them to do it. Making it a... What's the problem?
I still have the problem with their arbitrary decision to allow Russian players to play in the NHL, but they're all about the Olympic ban and not having Team Russia play. I can't mesh those two.
Doesn't make sense,
right?
It doesn't. It's hypocritical.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Football news today: Lions lose their starting center. Frank Ragnow decided to retire at 29 years old. Has played. Bears fan across the way pumping assist. He played 15 to 16 games last year, but he's been very beat up over the years. I'm sure we'll get more information on this, but yeah, just 29. He's going to walk, and they do have a second-round pick on the roster who was a guard. Tate Ratledge has been taking most of the center snap, so a little bit of a hit here. We'll see what the transition is like, but for one of the top five or six teams in the NFL, center is kind of a key position. Right.
Well, it's good that it happened when it did. I mean, they have time to cultivate and possibly, build something up. But, hey, take care of his body first.
Coming up, more details on A Stadium.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So you know what the flow of information with the A's and John Fisher and the stadium. Vegas is really busy and there's a lot going on. And I think outside of the one dude at the RJ who covers this story, we cover it here and there, but we're just kind of waiting for something to rise up from the ground. Supposedly, June official groundbreaking ceremonial towards the end of the month, and something will rise from the ground in July. I think a lot of people here are like, hey, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yep.
Bernie Brazil covered the front end of the story with the A's and that stadium deal and then moving here. And he always had a really good YouTube page. He's made a transition into being like the stadium guru, like for everywhere in the country. And I wanted to bring on Brady here on Cofield and Company. And I keep calling him Brady.
Brody.
Brody, what's going on, buddy?
How are you? Thanks for having me. I wish that wasn't my... Is it niche or niche? Whatever it is. I wish that wasn't my thing, but it's happening so often across sports now. Teams are either relocating or threatening relocation and stadium stuff and tariff stuff. It's just getting more hairy as the days and weeks goes on. And obviously, Las Vegas is right in the middle of it. So I wish that wasn't my thing, but it is so interesting.
It totally is. I mean, last week we had on a guy who's covering a lot of this for a radio station in Kansas City, Soren Petro, and he's like, listen, the tax that you get on the front end, whatever the bonds and all that, it never ends too. So it's ongoing when they're asking for improvements and more monies, and we want to get to all this. But first of all, I got to find out from you, since you're covering this story really closely and Bernie Brazil's with us, the Athletics to this point in Sacramento, give me a grade. Like, has it, we don't have to talk about it on the field, but has it worked from a stadium and crowd standpoint?
In fairness, I have paid not one stitch of attention to the Athletics this season. And that is because if pizza just gave you food poisoning, I'm not really hungry for pizza right after that. Look, I lost my job in the last year. Directly connected to covering the A's. And, I think I would have quit being a fan a long time ago, too, if it weren't for my work. So I've kind of just let them sail off to Sacramento. However, to the point, and I just wanted to declare where I'm at with all this, not following it on an everyday basis anymore. But no, I mean, I said years ago that if they go to Sacramento and don't sell out every game, that is a huge red flag. And here they are, maybe only selling out a few. Even when they do, you look at the attendance, it's not truly a sellout. And I don't blame Sacramento for that. Let's be honest here. People thought I was critical against Las Vegas. All of you listening probably to this in Southern and Northern Nevada, it's not Las Vegas. It's the situation. I'm not saying you don't deserve a team. I'm not saying Sacramento doesn't deserve a team. How could you entirely support what's going on? But if you're looking at it from a support standpoint, I don't know that it's fully there. It's probably worse than anybody actually really expected. Because they're not getting the full commitment up there. It's a weird situation. Is this a tryout? Is this not a tryout? I think it's not a tryout. But I think a lot of people are now realizing that and saying, all right, we're going to go check it out once or twice. But after that, I don't know that we'll hang in with it.
The process here is interesting. Like I said, nothing's risen from the ground yet. There hasn't been the ceremonial groundbreaking. I thought the hard date to be done by 2028 at the beginning of the season was get started in February, so we got that. It seems a little delayed, and now there's the other one that's kind of hanging over, which is, what have you found out about the possibility of tariffs screwing up this whole timeline?
Well, let me compound tariffs with the fact that tariffs also reduced Gap stock, which is a big deal in all of this, considering not only John Fisher, but the Fisher family. I urge both of you to go take a look at Gap stock, Within the last week, it has sunk about 20%. It's been reported that the Fisher family alone just lost $1 billion off of the stocks alone. I want to go back to this, though. And actually, can I ask both of you? I mean, you're in Las Vegas. You would understand this better. If you really were having a groundbreaking later this month, and if you look at recent groundbreakings of MLB stadiums and all of the pomp and circumstance and all of the invited guests and the governor's got to be there and everybody else, wouldn't you think that if this were actually happening like in this month of June, that the invitations would already be out there, like that your radio station and television stations would know about this, would be ready to cover this, would be ready to televise this? It's not happening on a moment's notice. So when is it actually happening? And I think the question is rhetorical. If it didn't happen already and it's still not happening right now, it's not to say that it will never happen, but something's obviously going on. There is a red flag going on here that nobody obviously wants to talk about.
I would love to know a date. I received an email from a colleague who's going to be on vacation. He said, Willie, I need you to do some stuff at the end of June besides UFC 317. Do the advance. Oh, and by the way, the groundbreaking may take place, so I'll keep you posted on that. Well, it's June 2nd, and the last week of the month is 3 weeks away.
Can I ask, so, is this for AP or Sporting Tribune?
For the Associated Press.
For the Associated Press.
For the Associated Press.
There you go.
We don't even have a date. Not even an embargo date, just so we can make plans to have a photographer and be out there for the whole. No, not for AP.
Media usually gets a heads up. And guys, let me just say this. I got so much kickback from people in Las Vegas thinking that I'm against Las Vegans and all of this. And it's just to say that this was the conversation months and years ago, that you don't know the backstory and all that's happened to get to this point. And that's why right now, this delay of even groundbreaking, and for some to say in Las Vegas that groundbreaking has already started. I've seen the drone shots. I know what's going on there. They are moving dirt. There's no question about that. Half of that has still been the demolition of the Tropicana Hotel. There's a lot of work to make it a flat canvas and a fresh start for whatever goes next there. Half of it's that. There is some excavation that's being done. But to your point, you've seen it. There's nothing rising from the ground. There's no actual groundbreaking or construction. And whoever does that before they do the ceremony, it doesn't make sense, but it also does make sense.
I thought it was interesting last week, and I'm not sure how much attention it got. And I watch David Sampson a bunch because he's got really good takes on especially the money end of things. And he was talking about Aramark, the concession company, appearing to invest about $175 million, which 100 of it may actually go to an ownership stake. He was talking about that they bought in ownership at a stake of like 5 or 6% based on the real valuation.
Right. It's a big question mark what that cooperation really is, because I watched David Sampson talk about it too. $175 million might be almost like buying the rights to being the concessionaire forever. Like, this might be a buy-in of the franchise. It also might be more of like a licensing thing, kind of like a naming rights thing. But the bottom line that I go to is this. The A's need to provide the first $100 million of construction to the stadium. That was part of SB1 that was passed 2 summers ago. And if John Fisher does or doesn't just have a cool $100 million ready to go to start the process, maybe this liquid asset of 175, or even if it's just 100, that's the kickstart to get the money, to unlock the money out of Nevada. So then he gets another 380. So now we're up to 480. They still have to get to, what, 1.75 bill? And quite honestly, if either of you think it's really going to be 1.75 billion in Las Vegas with tariffs, with everything else, it's going to be 2-something, maybe even 3.
Yep. Round-the-clock construction because they've started late here. Brody Brazil is with us out of the Bay Area. His YouTube channel is amazing for information on all of these stadium dealings and possible relocations in different situations. The Rays are fascinating. Now you've got talk up there about, hey, the repairs to that stadium, they're freaking sky high, and now Orlando may come into play as another destination. Just move the whole team.
You know, Tropicana Field is kind of like Tropicana Hotel. At some point, why would you try and fix the place up if you know you're just going to tear it down right around the corner? Yeah. And it's one of those situations where they are under contract. The Rays are 3 more years with Tropicana Field in the city of St. Petersburg. So the Rays are kind of forcing now St. Petersburg to do this work, to pay this money, to put this roof back on. Who knows if that'll even be complete by the start of next baseball season. And I've covered the Rays situation. Look, I'm not from Florida. I have zero connections to Tampa or St. Pete or Orlando, which I know we'll probably get into. it's all fascinating to me, guys, because of what we just experienced with the A's. I've seen this movie before. I've seen how all of a sudden tourism is the special flavor of Major League Baseball. They want to get to tourism in Las Vegas. They might want to try tourism, you know, double as much tourism in Orlando. So I've seen how fast these owners can approve things just to get the problem off their hands, and then all of a sudden a team is moving in that case.
Okay, how real is Orlando?
Very real. Well, I'll tell you this. Here's the two realest ones I know. Orlando, for a team out east, like the Rays in Tampa and St. Pete, I'm going to throw Utah in the conversation that if you think right now, if you're in Las Vegas and all you want is the Athletics to be yours, you also better watch out for Utah. There's $900 million sitting in the state of Utah right now for a baseball team in Salt Lake City. They've got the Larry H. Miller Group ready to go, ready to pump in hundreds of more millions, if not billions of dollars for the site. They also obviously are going to want to take ownership of the team. Utah is just sitting there in the weeds right now. I think they have another 8-9 years to try and get this done. It's under a legislative law was passed. So basically, like, this is still an option for the state. But I mean, look, if it comes down to brass tacks with the A's and Sacramento isn't an option and whatever the issues are in Las Vegas, I mean, look, state of Nevada has ponied up $380 million. That's nowhere near what $900 million would get you. So I think Utah is very real. To answer your question, I think Orlando is very real. I'm not saying that it's for sure, but if Stuart Sternberg wants to sell to the highest bidder and they're in Orlando, I think he has no problem doing that. And I think baseball approved that in a split second.
Okay, so speaking with Brody Brazil, Brody, you said before, hey, it's nothing against Vegas. This is all about that organization. But just then you just said, whatever Vegas's issues are, there are no real issues here in Vegas. This has to do with the A's. Do you think it's are we going backwards where now it's 50-50 that this team is coming?
I should have been more clear on that. When I said Vegas issues, I meant A's issues specifically Las Vegas. Okay. No, not I know Las Vegas gets things done. To be quite frank, this whole time I've used the analogy of a little kid at a birthday party and the pinata and a parent, right? And the A's are the kid with the bat in their hands and they can't hit the pinata in Oakland or Fremont or San Jose or wherever. And all of a sudden the parent kind of puts the hands on the shoulders and the parent is Las Vegas, twists them around, says, here, Billy, take a spin to the left. That's Las Vegas helping the A's hit the pinata. So no, my thing is if the A's have issues and finance, I mean, and Bally's being part of the site that's maybe not in a great financial position as well to furnish the rest of that 35 acres site. There's just so many questions. But yes, they are central to the A's and not Las Vegas.
Brody Brazil is with us. I got like 45 seconds left, so I'm going to kind of crowd this in here. But I did see that you had a video up on your YouTube page about sports reporters being replaced by content creators, which is a topic we talk about all the time, especially the power of the Raiders content creators. What are you seeing?
Just a lot of people who are trained in the broadcast world like myself that either lose their job or find a new job or find a new place. And look, there's just a market for it. I don't know if it's better or worse yet. Only time will tell. But there's a lot of people who are breaking out of the mold and they're not buttoned up anymore, wearing a suit and tie like I used to do. And maybe they're more trustworthy. Maybe they're not. But it all comes down to personalities and you know, the mold of what a broadcaster is and isn't anymore has totally changed. So I guess maybe I made that selfishly. I'm kind of part of that transition, but we'll see where it goes.
Well, I think it's really important because this sort of stuff that, as you said earlier, is a niche. When in TV are you going to get, you know, minutes upon minutes to talk about this? You need long form, and now this is where the home is for long form up on YouTube and the web.
That's right. And people are cutting their cable and not watching traditional television as much. I know your radio program is put on a number of different platforms. And the reason you do it is because that's where the eyeballs and the ears are. So I credit you for, you know, all of you for being one step ahead of all that, too. That was kind of my point.
We're trying, right? We're all trying. Great spot, Brody. We appreciate it. Thanks for the quick response. And let's get you on down the road when we have some more developments with all these stadiums, not just Vegas. Okay.
Literally anytime, guys. No problem.
There is. Brody Brazil. I'm telling you, his page is great. And you find out, like, you don't realize when, you know, we're all insular. We're all into the area we're into. And you find out when you start looking around, man. Like, right now, the Chiefs, not so much the Chiefs, but the Royals are in this whole process. Is it going to be Kansas? Is it going to be Missouri? There's these other situations where bills come up after 20 years. Like, who's paying for this? It never ends. The expenditure never freaking stops.